Welcome to Talking Hoosier Baseball for Monday, March 7th, 2022. I am Carl James, joined by Cassidy Palmer. The Indiana Hoosiers just completed their first series win of the season, a 2-1 victory over Missouri State in Springfield, Missouri. IUBase.com had one Cassidy Palmer there on hand for the weekend. Really, without much further ado, we're just going to talk to Cassidy about what she saw this weekend.
I will say, first off, the ballpark they play in is pretty great. Even though it is almost two decades old, it is very well maintained and the facilities are great. And it actually came into play a bit on Sunday in that the teams were able to take their batting practice inside, with it being, I'm not going to say frigid, but compared to the first two days, it was cold enough that the heat in the press box was on. So that kind of facility really does help from that perspective. Even if it wasn't at full functionality, as the minor league season has obviously yet to start, it was still a great facility, and the folks there who run things in the press box world were absolutely fantastic. On the field, honestly, outside of one half inning, the Hoosiers dominated. Pitching, fielding, hitting. It was just that one half inning that kept it from a sweep, and a moderately easy one at that. I mean, a few things stood out to me, particularly at the plate and on the mound. I mean, this team hit 313 as a team on the weekend. You don't see that often. And one of the things we had talked about was the strikeouts, and how the strikeouts were a little high, but situationally, in the big situations, we weren't striking out. On the weekend, the team only struck out on 22% of their plate appearances, which was their at bats, which was down 10 percentage points or so from where they were coming in on the weekend. Some of that could be a bit on quality of pitchers. I mean, looking at Clemson, Arkansas, and Stanford versus Missouri State, there could be a little something in that, or young guys now getting a little bit more comfortable game time at the plate. But then on the mound, something that we hadn't really seen much, or at least consistently so far in the season, the starting pitchers went 16 and two-thirds out of 26 innings pitched. I'll take that any day of the week at this point. That was huge. To have two guys go six solid, that was absolutely fantastic. And then, as I had mentioned in the Sunday recap, on the weekend, the pitching staff left 24 bears on base. And when you add in the double plays and the caught stealings, that was 62% of their base runners right there. And that was honestly the difference maker, I think, of not only not letting them score, but not really letting them advance either. And outside of that one seven run inning in the first game, And I think probably the biggest takeaway that I'm seeing early on this season is, and it was the difference between Friday and Saturday and Sunday, is the presence or lack of a snowball inning, like that seven run fifth inning. When the pitchers can really locate the zone consistently, and can avoid that snowball inning, things really do open up. Like Coach Mercer said, it really opens everything up. And you can work around those excess walks and HBPs, because I think this staff will likely continue to have more walks and HBPs than we've seen in years past. We've been remarkably blessed on the pitching front over the last several years, particularly where walks and HBPs are concerned. But if we can keep those from stacking up, for example, Bradley Bremer on Sunday had a pair of walks, one each in his first two innings, but those came with two outs and they didn't go anywhere. It's much harder for a two out walk to score than a leadoff walk. And I think that's going to be the biggest thing. And looking at it, this team could have two more wins on the books early this season, just in those little bit of snowball innings. The 3-run fourth inning against Arkansas, in a 2-5 loss, that's a tie game. Against Missouri State, that 7-run fifth inning, and sometimes the snowballs haven't mattered. When you're not putting up a run against Stanford, kind of doesn't matter how many runs you give up. But avoiding those, I think that's going to be the biggest determination in wins and losses this year, is can we avoid those snowball innings? Because when we do, as we saw this weekend, this team can dominate. So those were the things that really stood out to me on the weekend. Fielding again was spectacular. Even with a bit of rain on Saturday, and then thankfully, right as the game wrapped up, it started raining, and then right as everybody got back to their vehicles, it was pouring. So that one, that hour made a difference in the scheme of things. But yeah, that was. It was very good to see early in the season against what should be decent competition. I don't think Missouri State is going to be setting any records this year, but they aren't, I don't think, going to be an absolutely horrible team either.
Yeah. Well, it looks like they can swing the bat. That's the thing.
Yes.
They may not have all that much going on the mound, but they can swing the bat. And and this is the thing, and Indiana learned this, that hey, you give them an inch, they're gonna take a mile. And that's what they did to get that Friday win. And a team like that probably is going to struggle against the Dallas Baptists and Indiana States of the world, but they may do very well against many other teams in their league. That's a team that that could go on a tear, and like we know, sometimes it's about figuring things out on the mound, and teams can get better. So.
Yeah, and they have had a few mound related injuries that have kind of slowed them a little bit in this early season, off season into early season.
Yeah,
according to the media people I talk to, so that it does really make sense. And they are still waiting on a couple of their bats to really heat up. Their home run leader last year hasn't hit one yet, and so they're still waiting for some guys to heat up, and they realize that. So I could see them be solid. I just don't know that they'll be great. I just don't think they'll be bad.
Well, I'm going to take a quick look at a couple things as far as IU's schedule goes. Looking back, we kind of described the Clemson series as a level setter because Clemson was that team that didn't make the regional last year, is trying to come back. Clemson cracked D1 baseball's top 25 this week, coming in at number 19. Clemson is 11-0 on the season, having just completed a sweep of South Carolina. So that was a very impressive sweep. You read the articles about them, they say it was impressive enough sweeping Indiana. So and now Indiana was is the only team that has taken them to extra innings. So you know, Clemson's riding high right now. We're not, you know, it's still, you know, obviously very early in the season. We'll be very curious to see what happens when they get to ACC play. Split location, a series sweep of South Carolina is pretty loud. South Carolina is supposed to have actually the best pitching rotation in the SEC. Not expected to hit all that well, but they're supposed to have the best pitching rotation in the SEC.
And I mean, we know who's coaching their pitchers as well. So we know that'll be good on their end.
Parker's going to have them in good shape. So we know that Clemson team's real. Mm-hmm. So the rest of the country is starting to figure that out now too.
Makes that weekend look a little bit less bad. I'm not going to say it looks good, but it looks a little bit less bad.
Yeah. The Big Ten still looks like Maryland is likely to be the class of the Big Ten. They're having the best season, the best early season so far. They're having the most impressive outings coming out of the gate here. Purdue is making a lot of noise, having not lost yet. They're one of the five teams, along with Clemson, that haven't lost yet. Purdue hasn't quite played the competition, so we'll see where that goes once they actually start facing some tougher competition. But you know, any baseball team that can win 11 games and not lose any is usually doing something right. And you know, while obviously we are not Purdue fans on Talking Hoosier Baseball, we are fans of the RPI, and the RPI favors when your opponents win their other games. Yes. So that's having two undefeated teams so far on the schedule is kind of nice from that perspective. Trying to build that RPI, obviously.
So you're saying we don't like Iowa to lose to non D1 schools?
Well, D1, non D1 schools.
I guess that doesn't count.
They don't count against the RPI, and I'll take that all the time.
I couldn't not laugh when I saw that one the other week.
Yes, there's really, that's the one advantage Iowa has in the fact that there's hardly anybody around them that plays baseball.
Yeah.
They play a lot of these non D1 games, but of course that means they play probably enough of them that they're occasionally going to lose them because it's going to happen. And Indiana's going to have its own challenge coming up here. It's not a non D1, but we do have 11.7's number two worst team in all of Division II coming to the BART on Wednesday in Purdue Fort Wayne. But again, hey, they're a baseball team, and while they haven't won a game this season, their program was okay over the last couple. They seemed to be on an upswing, but Indiana cannot sleep on them, and especially being the second game in a midweek. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow, Tuesday at 4 p.m. is Cincinnati's at the BART, and Cincinnati has been playing some very good baseball. This is going to be a real challenge, a real, real challenge for the Hoosiers. So Luke Hayden will be going for the Hoosiers against Cincinnati. Jack Walker will get the ball at 4 p.m. Wednesday against Purdue Fort Wayne. So more baseball back at the BART. Won't be quite the nice weather that we saw last week, but it's still going to be baseball at the BART. So, bundle up, bring some layers, and come out and let's enjoy some baseball. Chance for a really tough competitive game on Tuesday, and hopefully a strong,
very
handily taken care of win on Wednesday. But then again, this is baseball, and anything can happen.
Uh-huh.
And say what you want about Purdue Fort Wayne, Mastodon is a pretty cool mascot, so
it is, although I just cannot get into the habit of Purdue Fort Wayne, because my entire life it's been IPFW, and it's just ingrained that it's IPFW.
Yep. So that's what we got coming up in the midweeks. And then they'll be taking, it looks like a really good thing they're taking a trip down south this weekend, because the weather is not going to be good here in the north this coming weekend. So the series to Troy this coming weekend, I haven't actually had time to dig much into them. We are going to do that, and we'll get something up on the site before the series starts on Friday.
Yep.
Josh and Cass, Josh and Chris, why did I say that? Josh and Chris were not able to join us today, but as we said, Cassidy was the one with the eyes on the game. And just a personal note here, because I was enjoying a lot of IU women's basketball this weekend.
I was also watching that on the phone in the press box, just got to say.
So I was doing that from Indianapolis. So I was really relying on Cass's coverage in all aspects of it. Cass, you just absolutely killed it this weekend. We had the recaps were phenomenal. The interviews were on point, really good information. Hit some points that were really, really key to understanding what was going on in the series. And then some really good quotes also are in those recaps. So go to iubase.com, check out what Cass wrote up for each of those games this weekend. It's a lot of really, really good information. And also on the website, it links to the various interviews, whether it's on YouTube or through the Talking Hoosier Baseball podcast. For audio, where you can listen to what Coach and a couple of the players said after those games. It's not a point we've verbalized a whole lot here at Talking Hoosier Baseball. And at iubase.com, kind of what we're doing now, our initial mission statement was really to bring just information about Indiana baseball, to bring awareness and bring it out. Honestly, we could stop doing this tomorrow and it wouldn't be a big deal from that perspective, because to look at all the media that are there now, that are, the fact that we are getting, that they're making sure that there is an actual radio guy going out on these early trips, that you've got, national media, outlets involved, you've got local media outlets, you've got a lot of different student media outlets involved,
even covering as much as social media fall ball stuff. I had realized once I moved here the fact that there were quite a few student media groups that cover fall ball stuff. That was never the case. That was me sitting there tweeting away just as a fan.
Yep. So there's a whole lot of information out there. So to kind of distinguish ourselves at IU Base and Talking Hoosier Baseball, we're really trying to focus on really getting into the details, really getting into, the information, which, we've been relying on Cassidy for a lot of that for years with a lot of the statistical information. We're that group that we don't really talk as much about, batting average with runners in scoring position. We talk about strikeout rate with runner on third and less than two outs. we get into those kind of details.
which that's not a great one to come up with a column header on stats for. That's a rather long one that can't really be shortened.
It's one that we like, because it's one of those things that and it's interesting, because we like to ask questions of Coach that really do deal with things that are controllable. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes how did you do with in these various situations? Well, avoiding a strikeout with a runner on third base in less than two outs is controllable. Yes. Approach can be changed so that your goal is to make contact. Yes. Where a ground out is productive, where a fly out is productive. Mm-hmm. a line drive back to the picture, not productive, but you really can't control that.
Line outs in the infield, probably not productive, but
that's not something you can control.
No.
So the point is, we like to ask about things and talk about those things that are controllable that can be impacted. You know, strike throwing. We know that's controllable, and that's obviously kind of been top of mind for this team for a while now.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the niche that we're going for. We're trying to kind of come up with a story of the game. What is the story of this game going forward? And we've also, as I said, this year we've got Garrett Creech on our team. He's interning as an Indiana University student with us, and he's done a phenomenal job in his one home game so far. So we are continuing to look forward to working with Garrett and his development as a journalist. Yes. So, but he's also a baseball guy. He knows the game very well, and he's really excited to kind of dig in with these kind of details that the fan base of IUBase.com and Talking Hoosier Baseball have come to know. But I can say it was awesome that I was able to kind of think about basketball this weekend.
Yes.
And I was able to keep track of things by seeing the work that you did, Cassidy, over the weekend. So
it was fun, and it was also kind of cool. I had never really done the true media thing at a game. It's always been the like, yeah, I've got a credential, I can go into the press box and grab stats or whatever if I want to or I need to, but I'm still gonna sit in the stands and hang out with everybody and have fun. It was really cool to sit in the press box and with their SID, their official scorer, and being there for like, oh hey, we've got the official attendance right here, or the hit and error determinations, and being able to see it from that lens, and the trying to keep up with social media while scorecard and all of that. It was a cool experience. I'm glad I don't do it every game, but it was really cool to try. And I will say, sitting in the press box keeping a paper scorecard is much nicer than sitting out in the rain. Rain and paper, those don't mix. So that was real helpful, especially on a Sunday when there was no video stream. So that was, it was really cool. It was a lot of fun, and I'm very glad I got to go, and I hope the team schedules some more Missouri games. As we kind of mentioned, as we were in Clemson, Mizzou are in fact the Tigers, so they would fit in that opening weekend slot of only playing Tigers. Although it's not any better in the middle of Missouri in February than it is in Indiana.
There's like what, five Tigers then in the SEC? That's weird.
It's something like that. Yeah. All the Tigers, all the time.
All right. Well, we're due for some hardware here. So
we are.
Cass, since Chris isn't here, Chris, and since you were at the games, Chris has delegated the entire Red Belt list to you, Cassidy. It is on you. Let's go for it.
Yeah, I expected one of them. I was not expecting to be responsible for all three of them. So I'll start with the one that I was expecting to cover a little bit more, as there wasn't video coverage for Sunday, and you kind of need video to spot defense a lot of times. So for the Tony Butler Red Belt this week, we're gonna go with Brock Tibbetts at first base. He was just fantastic with his stretches, particularly on some of those double plays. Just those alone, he was responsible for outs that had no business being outs. He definitely saved a couple of base runners just on that. And he had a couple of solid plays kind of behind first base, at least knocking the ball down so he could toss it over to whichever pitcher was covering. that wouldn't have been errors had he not gotten to them, but would have either been infield hits or would have scooted past into the outfield. So for that one, Brock Tibbetts this week, on the mound for the Joey Donato, we're going to go Jack Perkins, 6 innings, 1 run, 7 Ks. Doesn't get much better than that. He did have I think 5 combined walks and HBPs, but they were never a problem. He had that brief stint, but as Coach Mercer mentioned after the game, it had gotten very wet suddenly, and then it dried out a bit. So give a little bit of wiggle room there, but even just the ability to respond back after that with a strikeout and a double play. Bradley Bremer was a very good honorable mention as well. But Perkins line was just a little bit better, better overall. And then Alex Dickerson, my word, did these guys make it difficult when you've got 3 different guys who, hit 400 or better on the weekend and have 6 hits each. And that's difficult. But it had to go with Matthew Ellis, hit .429 on the weekend with 6 hits, 2 home runs, 2 doubles. And those 2 home runs were not cheap by any stretch. As I mentioned, in the post-game interview, with Coach Mercer and with Ellis, those, especially the one to right center, absolutely rivaled Schwarber's 2014 in Louisville over the batter's eye. I don't know that I've seen one hit quite that hard, quite that high, quite that far since then. That one was insane. Couldn't even track it live. I gave up. It was just, that is very gone. And along with that, he had 10 RBI on the weekend. It's been a while since I've seen a double digit RBI weekend. And 4 of those came with 2 out, which, as Feeney says, 2 out RBI, best kind. So overall, while there were several, Tibbetts was very close to a double award this week. Bobby Whalen was right up there. Morgan Colopy hit well. Carter Matheson hit well. Almost had a 2-homer game with one very close to an inside the park home run. But overall, got to go with Ellis, and particularly those ridiculous 10 RBI. So to recap, Tony Butler Award this week is Brock Tibbetts. Joey Donato Award is Jack Perkins. And the Alex Dickerson Award is Matthew Ellis.
All right. Thank you, Cass. All right. Well, I think that'll just about do it for Talking Hoosier Baseball for this week. We've got 5 games before we'll likely reconvene, hopefully with the whole gang, if we can manage all of our schedules to work out. But there's 2 games at the BART, and then 3 down in Alabama playing Troy. You know, the team is 4-6 now, so it's a much healthier record, an opportunity to possibly get that number closer, if not over 500, before we reconvene. We'll be very interested to see how all of that plays out. So that will do it for Talking Hoosier Baseball. For Cassidy Palmer, I'm Carl James. See you at the BART.